You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2:05 PM with Mick Norton, James Millman and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Pontefract and Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon. Musselburgh and Windsor will provide the action in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Good afternoon. Yes, pretty well. Not too bad.
Good. We'll start with a quick look back at some of Saturday's action. Good racing on Saturday, and then we'll move on to Monday. We must start with the Irish Derby, the 150th running, and an impressive winner in the shape of Jack Hobbs.
Yeah, he was impressive. Basically, we had a carbon copy of the Derby, just without Gordon Horn. And Jack Hobbs destroyed the opposition. And with Highland Reel, I think a little bit disappointing. I think the French form perhaps isn't as strong amongst the colts as what it is over here in Britain, but he was disappointing. So basically, he didn't really have a lot to beat, because qualifier was held up well out of her ground, the Oaks winner, and she's actually done well to stay on, not finish far behind the third horse. But as a whole, I wasn't overly impressed, just because he basically did exactly what he did in the Derby, and you've got to bear in mind that Golden Horn beat him quite cozily. But he's cleared a rest. John Gosden's the one that's in a very, very good position. He's got the two best three-year-old colts in the country. And yeah, that was interesting. But like I say, I think Golden Horn is a class apart to him.
Yeah, like you said, John Gosden's got a pretty pretty good hand there, hasn't he? And the plan with Jack Hobbs, I think, is to go to the Arc.
Yeah.
Could you see him? He's still learning, isn't he?
Quite classy enough. That would be my slight concern. I'm not sure how good the three-year crop as a whole is. I think he might struggle against his elders. But obviously, Trev makes her second run of the season today. And she takes on a slightly stronger opposition than when she won well in her reappearance. But for me, she's going to be very hard to beat, and I think that the three-year-olds do need to improve a little bit. So yeah, Jack Hobbs, maybe nick a place, but I can't see him winning the Arc unless he improves a fair bit, because realistically, he probably hasn't improved that much yesterday and what he actually achieved in the Derby.
No, the distance between him and Storm the Stars pretty much the same, wasn't it?
So they've run up to form. Storm the Stars, I think he can run a great race in St. Ledger. I think he stays all day. He's had a lot of runs now. I think it's his fifth or sixth run this season, so he's been a tad exposed, but he's been running well, and he's a credit there to Willie Haggis and Pat Cosgrave.
Mm. So that was Jack Hobbs. We talk about the plate as well. Quest for More winning the Northumberland Plate, the last Northumberland Plate on the turf as well.
Definitely. Cracking ride by George Baker. He was always in the right place. I thought they went off plenty hard in front. George sat about sixth place down the back straight, and he was in the ideal place to pick up the pieces when the front runners faded away. And George Baker, very, very tall lad. One of the few jockeys that was taller than me, and he does struggle with his weight a lot, obviously. He works extremely hard, and it's great to see him get some good opportunities. Obviously, he won a Group 3 on Aeolus in the race before. That was a real high-profile double for George, part of Ed Walker's four-time as well yesterday. So George really deserved that. And the horse has improved immensely, because last year he was kind of stuck in the 90s a little bit. He was consistent, solid, but for some reason he's found plenty of improvement this year. He won out of a mark 104. I think he was helped by the fact that Clever Cookie obviously didn't run, because off 114, Clever Cookie had 10 stone, and it did mean that Quest for More had £6 less than perhaps what he would have carried if Clever Cookie hadn't originally been declared. So that would have helped, only having 9-4 on his back and forcing a few of them out of the handicap. So, like I say, real good run. Obviously up in group class now, I think, because he won off 104. Handicap was probably going to go 110, 111. And Sergeant Cecil, obviously my dad, won that race back in 2005. He showed that handicappers can easily make it into the group ranks as stayers, and the way he's improved recently, I think he's going to have a say in some of the staying cut races.
All right. What do you make of, obviously, a lot was made about being the last fixture at Newcastle, the last Northumberland Plate on the turf. What do you make of the switch to the all-weather? Because it's polarising opinion a little bit, but I'd say more people are against it than for
it. Well, I'd say traditionalists, as always in racing, they don't like change. They like everything to stay exactly the same. Northumberland racing needs an all-weather track, and apart from yesterday, Newcastle's flat card is pretty poor. There's no real races that stand out. Even the Gosforth Park Sprint, which is run on a Friday evening, that's normally a really big highlight of a sprint handicap. I think it's only worth about £20,000 now, when it used to be a real prestigious race. Generally, the level was a little bit low. A lot of horses in that race yesterday, they've had runs on the weather before. I don't really think it will see that much of a difference in quality, because just because it's run on a weather surface, I don't think trains are going to go, well, I'm not going to run it because it's on the weather. As long as the prize money stays the same, I think they're going to increase the prize money by £10,000. It will be a different race, because obviously it's going to be run on the poly track or whatever surface they're putting in, Tapeter maybe.
Tapeter,
but,
yeah.
But I say, I wouldn't be saying trains are not going to run. All the top trainers now run horses on the weather. Northern Racing needs an weather track. Myself, I'm not anywhere near as against it as a lot of the other trainers. If Newcastle had probably 10 high-profile turf meetings a year, maybe, but as it is, they have one, and it might well even boost the weather racing even more. So I'll say I'm not as against it as many others.
Anything else on your mind before we move on?
Nope, the mind's pretty clear at the moment. So we'll kick on to tomorrow's racing.
All right, and we'll get James' thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going to look at racing at Pontefract, Windsor and Musselburgh, starting in the 4 o'clock at Pontefract, which is a Fillies Handicap Class 3 event over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Field of 9 here. James, who do you like in there?
Yeah, nice 15-round Fillies Handicap at Pontefract. A valuable event, and it's produced a very, very strong field. The one I like is one drawn stall 1 at Grand Canary Queen. Rachel Richardson's riding really well at the moment, riding with plenty of confidence for her boss, Tim Easterby, and she teamed up nicely with this one at York in a very, very similar contest when she beat Love Island by neck. Has gone up £4, but with a really good draw here at Pontefract, I think she could well win again and make it 3 wins in our last 4 starts. But as you'd expect for the money, it's pretty competitive. Mark Johnson's Man with Paradise has been in good form, winning 2 of our last 4 starts. But both of those did come on near weather. There's a slight concern whether she's better on that surface, but she ran well at Chester on the turf when second last time out. And she's certainly going to be dangerous under Franny Norton for Mark Johnson. Of the others, a few of them are a little bit out of form but could bounce back. Pearl Blue won 2 starts back in May, but last 2 outings have been a little bit disappointing for David O'Mara up at Philip Macon. Takes a ride today in a slightly easier race than what she's been running in recently. Last time she was seen on Derby Day at Epsom. So this will be a welcome drop in grade, but she does need to improve on those claiming successes. Rural Celebration, Shelley Burkett takes a ride on that one. She wasn't disgraced in a listed race last time out of there, despite the fact she only finished 11th. Back in a handicap, she's got a more realistic chance, and she couldn't be ruled out. But I do think Grand Canary Queen for Rachel Richardson is the one to beat.
Grand Canary Queen for James. In there then, the 5:30 at Pontefract is where we go next. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We'll start here with Thornaby Nash. James, who was a winner at Wetherby last time, has a penalty to defy here and back up in grade. What do you make of the O'Meara runner?
Yeah, Thornaby Nash won nicely at Wetherby the other day. That was obviously Class 5 coming, like you say, up into Class 4 today. He had the whole of 2014 off, so you can imagine he's probably going to improve for a few runs. And the step up to a mile seems to have seen a bit of improvement, because he was seen at 6 furlongs on his first 2 runs of 2015. But up to a mile, he won nicely at Wetherby on quick ground. As long as the ground remains on the quick side at Pontefract, I mean, he quite got home when it was soft at Doncaster the time before. He is going to be difficult to beat. But still, 9 does place him a little bit on the wide outside at Pontefract tomorrow, and with that penalty taking him to 10 stone 2, they've not used an apprentice jockey to kind of negate that claim, so not going to be easy for Thornaby Nash. For that reason, draw and the penalty, I will oppose him. It's just trying to find one to oppose him with, and the one that will be is Twin Point, who ran much better when second to Harwood's Volante at Wetherby a week ago, only beaten half length, and is well handicapped on old form. He's dropped £8 in his last 6 starts, and that was a real step back in the right direction. He's much better drawn in stall 2. David Allen takes a ride for Michael Harrington, and I think Twin Point has got an excellent chance. Another one that ran better last night was Piccadilly Gin, who finished 3rd at Ripon behind Janab off today's mark of 62. He's another one that's reasonably well drawn in stall 3, but whether he just quite lacks the class to win in this grade, I'm not so sure. So Twin Point will be the selection in the 5:30 at Pontefract.
Twin Point for James there then. To Windsor we go for their 7:30. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. And we'll start here with Craftsmanship James, who looked to relish the step up to this trip and winning over course and distance last time.
Won nicely, didn't he? 5 weeks ago, Frey Talicki rode him on that occasion for Robert Edery. Andrea Zeni's back on board today. And he looked a little bit exposed before that, over a mile. He was beaten 5 times off 77, but stepping up in trips certainly saw the desired effect, and he won quite nicely. Handicap stuck him up £7, but of confidence boosted after that success. And Windsor is a track he likes. His previous run at Windsor was successful when beating Marengo off 75. So it may just be the track and the trip has seen a little bit of improvement. I think he is the one to beat. Tears of the Sun, probably his main rival, Clive Cox's runner. Another one at the top of the weights. Adam Kirby takes the ride. Ran really well behind Persona Grata here the other day. I think Persona Grata was placed in a listed race yesterday. So that's got a real form boost. She was second to Dream Child at Deauville. So I would really be fearful of Tears of the Sun. Just a slight concern with the handicap. It's got hold of a win. Came off a mark of 80 at Brighton. That was ahead of Elbereth, the winner at Epsom. So she's in very, very good form. And she's certainly the main danger to Craftsmanship if he doesn't repeat that success here 5 weeks ago. I think Tears of the Sun will be the one to pick up the pieces. Of those lower down the weights, Silver Alliance is interesting for Julia Field and Adam Bisketsa. Won very nicely at Brighton by 6 lengths the other day. Only gone up £6, just whether it be as effective on a more conventional track, Silver Alliance. But as a whole, I think the top two at the weights will dominate and Craftsmanship gets the vote.
Craftsmanship for James in the 7:30 then. The 8:45 at Musselburgh is where we finish. This is a class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. A field of 8 here, James. Who would you be siding with in there?
Yeah, we might as well have a veterans handicap here because we've got a lot of 8, 9-year-olds and even Narazaman, who's at 11, has been in very, very good form recently. But they're obviously very exposed. Nothing really stands out as one that could improve past them. True Pleasure, very, very consistent recently. Won at the start of the season at Catterick and Beverley off a £3 lower mark. Slightly struggled off his mark of 77, but wasn't disgraced at all behind Breakable at Catterick last time out. Goes well around tight tracks. And today could be the day she gets her head back in front again. She certainly deserves to. And I think her consistency will stand her in good stead. Of the other older horses, Razaman, he's been placed in his last 3 starts. But I just think the handicap's got hold of him and he's generally better over 6 furlongs, perhaps 7 furlongs. Might just stretch him here at Musselburgh. Carras de Crest, near 9-year-old, he's another one that's been in reasonably good form, but didn't win a claimer last time out, so he might just struggle back in handicap company. So, like I say, a field full of veterans, nothing's really unexposed, catches my eye. Normally, True Pleasure would be one that would struggle, but I think James Beckles found out a really, really nice opportunity for the Choisir Mare, and True Pleasure is a selection.
Yeah, the form doesn't look too bad either. Breakable one subsequently, hasn't he? So,
yeah, no, it's good form. Like, yeah. I say, normally, I would say in a competitive handicap, 77, probably a limit, but she might just get away with it tomorrow.
As always, then, let's just have a quick summary, James, if you'll spin us through the selections one more time.
Yeah, in the 4 o'clock at Pontefract, gone for the in-form Grand Canaria Queen, who goes well for Rachel Richardson. In the 5:30, I think Thornaby Nash, combination of draw and penalty, might just see him struggle. So I have gone for Twin Point, Michael Harrington's runner, much better drawn in stall 2. In the 7:30 at Windsor, I think it's between the top two in the weights, Tears of Sun and Craftsmanship, and I've just edged towards Craftsmanship. While in the 8:45, I've gone for the very consistent True Pleasure.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you very much.
And James will be in the studio on Monday. He'll be joined by Mick Norton and Ollie Pimlott. They go live from 2:05 p.m. for the meetings at Pontefract and Wolverhampton in the afternoon, Musselburgh and Windsor in the evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.